Okay, so some of you are already thinking, okay, fine, fine. Well, all right, those images are, what can I do? Give me some pragmatic advice. What can I do to really make this happen for me right now? Well, I want to tell you something. I can only tell you what I do, because I can't tell you what you should do, because, in fact, there's something about me which says giving people how-tos is just another way to encumber them, because they're going to try to do it that way, and as a result of trying to do it that way, which may not work for them, they're going to find, oh, well, that doesn't work for me, and da 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 da. Dealing with your soul is not like learning to play golf or, you know, learning how to paint or something like that. It's not a skill that you develop by watching somebody else who does it. It's really a dialogue that you've got to start up with yourself. And the way to do that is to simply let go of any preconceived notion of who and what you think you are. Now, how do you do that? Well, the first way to do that is to constantly remind yourself when anything comes into your life which tells you who and what you are. Now, a lot of people can do that. For example, I'm telling you, you're the soul. So I'm telling you who and what you are. Your wife might say, can you take out the garbage tonight? You know, you're the garbage man. Okay, well, that's all I'm good for. All I'm good for is just being the garbage man. Now you're telling yourself who and what you think you are. Or, well, maybe you are a garbage man, and maybe that's what you do for a living. And maybe your whole way of life is affected by that because you can't think of anything beyond just that you do that for a living. Many people are who and what they think they are is their job. That's what they do. That's what they think. That's who they are. And, well, you married me. I can't change because I am who I am. I am this. I am that. I am that. So what you got to do, Here I am telling you what to do when I don't want to tell you what to do. But what you got to do is this. That's paradox, I realize. What you got to do is listen to anybody, including yourself, who tells you who and what you are, and just attach this little addendum to it. That's just a voice telling me who and what I am, but it ain't my me. Whatever you are defined to be, you immediately attach a little addendum. That's nice. I appreciate the praise. I appreciate the curse. I appreciate being told that, but that is not my essential core. Just that little itty bitty reminder will start the dialogue off between you and the soul, will open up the joyous bubbling through. Just that little tiny bit. That's all you got to do. It ain't very much. I don't want you to adamantly deny by, you know, somebody says, well, you are the president of a bank. No, I'm not. I am the Lord God, soul of all eternity. Well, you know, come on. I mean, you don't want to do that either. I mean, because that is inflated and it doesn't do you any good. So just, you'd say this to yourself. This is part of what you call your internal dialogue. And you got to start talking to yourself. I know people that talk to themselves, that you see them on the street. You say, oh, that guy's a little wacky. You got to get a little wacky in order to get sane. You got to get a little nutty in order to get totally lucid. So if you are willing to do that, then you can start the process off. And if you can do it on a regular, continual basis, you know, just accept that people can say whatever they want to say to you, whatever they want to say about you, listen to it in one ear, out the other ear. Now, let me tell you what that's called. Did you know what it's called? Do you have any idea what it's called? No, I'm going to tell you in a minute. I just want you to think a moment. What do you think that is? It's called meditation. And it's a form of meditation that is taught in which what you got to do is when a thought arises, you let it come and you let it go. And when another one comes, you let it come and you let it go. And you don't attach any more significance to it than just another thought, whatever that thought is. It may be a thought that makes you feel good. You let the good feeling come and then you let it go. By attaching this little proviso of that's not who I am or that's not what I am, just having that thought in the kind of a back of your mind, that will help you ease you over this hurdle of believing and accepting everything everybody tells you, including yourself telling yourself who and what you think you are. Okay, so let's go on with this now. You got a hint as to how you're going to practically manage this thing you call the living experience, and you're going to practice it from the point of view of soulness, Your Highness, not Your Highness, but Your Soulness, Your Highness. And from that point of view, things are going to start cropping up for you that are called magical, synchronistic, eventful, very meaningful, in ways that you never thought could ever be. Let's say you got a desire. The desire is, I want to manifest lots of money in my life. Okay, let the desire go. Just remember, you're not the money. Do what you got to do. Do it. But let the desire that that's the only thing you're doing go. And let that desire that you just planted, with the proviso that you're not that desire, bubble up through into your soulness. And what happens is that synchronicities and magical moments will start to pop into your life in such a way that opportunities for your richness, Your Highness, Your Highness, will begin to appear to you. And what will be appearing to you will not be making a lot of money, but the joy that comes, which is what you really want, not really the money, but the joy that comes that you believe is what you have from making money. In other words, you believe that, you know, life would be a lot better if I had more money. Well, why? Because I'd have more fun. Okay, what's fun? I'd have more of this. Okay, well, what's that? And pretty soon you begin to get down to the nitty-gritty of it all, and what you really want is to have more joy in your life. So it is the money. I mean, money is just pieces of paper. It doesn't do anything for you. Everybody's got lots of money or no money at all. It doesn't make any difference. It's a joy really in your life. Now, I know. I mean, you know, I'm not stupid. I know that if you got enough money to, you know, get a little extra spice in your life, a little extra this, maybe a new computer, or maybe a new car, or whatever, I know you're going to get a spontaneous buzz from that. That'll last maybe anywhere from 5 minutes to maybe a couple of days. Oh, I just got a new car. Boy, it smells. Smell that smell. Oh, boy, that feels good. I'm driving. Oh, boy, am I getting thrills from this. After a couple of days, you know, it's an old car. It's just an old car. Ha, ha, ha. Why did I want to have all that money just to buy a car? Oh, I know what I want. I want a new house. I want a bigger, better house. I want to have a new house. Well, what do you want a new house for? Because I want to throw these real rich parties, and I want to invite all these guests over. I want to have movie stars in my life. I want to have sexy people in my life. And then bango, wango, bango, it starts to come true for you. And guess what? You find out that movie stars are just human beings just like you. They're not much smarter, they're not much dumber, they're not much, you know, anything better than you. They may have more money than you or may have less money than you. Doesn't seem to make any difference. They're just folks just like you. And if you don't start getting in touch with your soulness, Your Highness, if you don't start carrying on that dialogue and recognizing it and hearing it and speaking it and seeing it in everywhere you go business, if you don't start doing that, then all of the things that you thought you wanted, that you desired, all turn to muddy clay in your hands, and you're going to look at life as pointless as it could ever be. You will be as impoverished as the poorest beggar you find on the street. Even worse, because none of your wishes have been fulfilled. I know people that have died of horrible diseases that were so rich and had so much to give, held on to their money. Boy, did they hold on to that money. Died richer than sin, rich, 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 and they were as poor as the worst paupers I've ever met in my life. I mean, really destitute. And it was so sad to watch these powerful people who were as powerless as tiny infants who finally succumbed to their own illnesses, which, you might say, well, did they create that for themselves? You know something? I'm not going to get into saying they, I, or he, she, because of certain things created that themselves, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about the nature of disease. Because what we're dealing with right now is how you can live a healthier life. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about being happy in your life. If you're not happy and joyous in your life, disease is going to set in. Why? Because dis-ease is uncomfort with. It's what happens when things get isolated from each other. When you separate and conquer and separate, and you say, ah, the reason I have the disease is because my liver is bad. The reason I have a disease is because I have a bad shoulder. The reason I have disease is because my brain got shrink wrapped by my mother. The reason I have this is because of that. When you start dividing and separating and finding causes for and that sort of, which, by the way, a lot of our medical models tend to do, the tendency of that is to keep the disease going. To get out of dis-ease, you have to get into ease. And there's no way to get into ease unless you get into the thing I'm telling you about here, which is your essential immortalness, Your Highness. Be your immortal self. Don't get caught up in the separation, the illusion that you are this body, you are this thing. Now, I know there are people out there that'll say, it sounds like what you're teaching is for us to be egoless. I ain't teaching you to be egoless. In fact, I wouldn't deal with you if you had no ego. If you had no ego at all, you'd be a pretty boring person. In fact, I don't know what I would do with you if you had no ego. Your ego is a very important part of what you develop. It's your act, baby. It's your act. Remember the story I told you in one of the earlier sessions about this movie in which Dustin Hoffman and Laurence Olivier were having this conversation? And in the conversation, Dustin Hoffman says that when he wants to get into a character like Ratso Ritso in Midnight Cowboy, he puts pebbles in his shoes so he has to hobble, and that hobbling makes him, he feels like a cripple. He actually feels like a cripple. And when Dustin Hoffman asked Laurence Olivier in the movie Marathon Man, how can you act out? How can you play a Nazi? I mean, what do you have to do yourself to do that? And all Olivier said was, I act, man, I act. Take the part of Olivier rather than Hoffman in this role we call life and act your ego. Let your ego be there. Yeah, it's an interesting part of you. It's that which creates all that drama in your life. Let it do that, but don't be it. Just let it be, but don't be it. You got what I'm saying here? Let it be, but don't be it. Let it be, but don't be it. That's all there is to it. That's the lesson. That's all you got to learn. That's all you need to learn to master life. Life is, let it be, but don't be it.